Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
My friends, it is Wednesday, the 10th day of October 2012. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Wow, there is so much to go over here, and we're going to be breaking it all down today. But China's economy is melting down faster and faster. In fact, I had that in my stack of news, and then right before the show started, just about 2 minutes ago, I was getting a cup of coffee back in the break room, and I had CNBC on, and they were going, let's be honest, China's deteriorating fast with, you know, riots, and the government's pumping in massive amounts of liquidity, and now they have this dispute with Japan and threatening war and massive liquidity in Europe and here, and then I had to walk out of the room to come down here. But you just see it everywhere. The global collapse is accelerating, and it is engineered. And I don't want to just sit here like a deer in the headlights. I mean, to be quite frank, I was talking to my wife this morning, and I said, we're like deer in the headlights. And we get up here on the air, and we say everybody should get motivated, and everybody should take action, and everybody should expose the corrupt government we've got and say no to tyranny. But I feel like I'm not doing enough, or that I'm not finding that magic lever to throw that turns all this around. And then I just realized that historically we're entering a very decadent cycle right now. And we're going to go through this. The question is, how bad is it going to be? And the more people we wake up, the better it's going to be. The pain will not be as great and not as prolonged historically. But it is quite a realization to have been on the air for 17 years, really about 13 years, trying to stop this engineered global meltdown that we knew they were setting up then, and to now know that it's not going to be stopped. They're going to start their larger war in the Middle East. It's already begun. They're going to attack Iran. The question is when. They're going to establish pretty much martial law in the Western world, and they're going to raise the taxes and take everybody's private property, unless you're an insider. And armies of bureaucrats and corporate bureaucrats are already engaged in their criminal activities all around us. And the general public is in a trance-like state, obsessed with what Lady Gaga is doing. And we are a rotten, corrupt, decadent system from the elite at the top right down to the general public, myself included, you know, a shadow of the type of men that founded Texas, a shadow of the type of people that founded this republic. I mean, I've studied the history. I don't romanticize it. I am a shadow of those men. And the general public is a shadow of who I am. That's pretty scary when you know that you're low and weak and you're better than almost everybody. And the globalists are fully aware of all this, and they're rolling forward. And they know it's a collapse, so they're institutionalizing cycles and using the natural cycle to accelerate it, to control it, like a spacecraft going around a gas giant to pick up acceleration to slingshot to light speed. And I don't think they're going to execute it. In fact, historically, intellectually, I can look at this spiritually. I can look at this gut level. I can look at this and tell you, the globalists are going to destroy themselves and us if we don't stop them. So right now, I just hope to survive this collapse and this decadent frothing we're going to witness that's going to make anything in history look like a cakewalk, and hopefully have a remnant of human civilization continue on to the future. And I've just got to go ahead and just tell you, that's where I see things going, and I don't think there's any way to stop it at this point. Okay, there you go. Maybe I'm wrong. I've tried to be an optimist, but this country and this world is a rotten hog in the sun.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome, my friends, to another worldwide transmission against tyranny. I don't know who you're batting for out there, but I'm certainly batting for Team Humanity and the future of our species. I want liberty and justice and a fair playing field and a good future for my children. And if my children are going to be free, your children need to be free. What comes around goes around. You reap what you sow. They got a lot of different names for it, but the truth is you don't cheat or screw anybody and not have it come back on you. And the social engineers we have running our society are as wicked and out of control and destructive as the day is long. And the only reason they've been successful, the globalists are taking over the world to a great extent, is because good men and women have done little or nothing to resist them. And many people that are good who've gotten involved have been diverted by the globalists into their own programs, which on the surface say they have a good goal in mind, but always at its heart have dependency, centralization, and brutality at its heart. Okay, wow. Every day it's an overload before I go on air looking at all the news. But let me just try to give you a smattering of what I'm here looking at. Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe, fears over race wars, economic fallout prompt new military battalions. And this is the universities, the government, elected officials. They're all here quoted out of the Swiss newspapers. Paul Watson quotes them and links to where they're making these statements. And it's on Swiss television. It's in the Swiss papers. They're preparing for basically road warrior level collapse of Europe. And, of course, the elites in Europe are also preparing in other countries, and they're preparing here while starting wars all over the world and trying to engineer a financial implosion. We're going to be talking with best-selling author of When Technology Fails, Matt Stein, on this and more coming up in the second hour today. So that's just one of the stories I have. You remember 3 months ago there were, no exaggeration, over 500 news articles coming out and saying there are no drones watching you. There is no weaponization of drones. It doesn't exist. Alex Jones, Matt Drudge, DrudgeReport.com, Infowars.com was Drudge carrying our stories. We just made it up, even though Kurt Nimmo's article that became the national, you know, huge news story that they countered was linked to all these local articles where they had weaponized drones and were weaponizing them and arresting people with them from Texas to Dakota, to North Dakota. So all of this is going on. Well, here is another article today with NBC News, and we're going to play part of this later just to analyze it. Sheriff wants drones to peek inside buildings. And this particular sheriff says in California that he already has drones, but now he wants them to look through your windows and to find marijuana plants and to track what type of heat resonance you have with heat scanners, infrared, so they can SWAT team your house. You know, people get SWAT teamed all the time and they say, well, your power bill was too high. It must have been marijuana you were growing. Come on, government. You're run by a big pharma that pushes deadly psychotropics and other drugs on the population, prescription garbage, hillbilly heroin, the rest of it, Oxycontin, kills by an order of conservatively 10 times what illegal drugs do every year, conservatively. You're pushing them on school kids of the New Freedom Initiative. The U.S. Army and Marine Corps grows the opium, 93% of the world supply in Afghanistan, and loads it on C-130s to ship it in. And your excuse to SWAT team us and take our houses and cars and all the rest of it is marijuana. Mary Jane. And then when 14 states moved to say, we're going to legalize it, Obama SWAT teams the legal dispensaries. I mean, I've just had enough of it. You're a bunch of narcotics traffickers who want to keep it illegal so you can run the stinking black market. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Sheriff wants drones to peek inside buildings, technology previously used to hunt insurgents in Afghanistan. And it's already going in nationwide. And if this story goes big, they'll just come out and say, well, there's no drones. We never heard of those. Lockheed Martin to control Pentagon's global information grid. Privatization of the Pentagon. Homeland Security learns to love small spy drones. That's Wired Magazine, but it doesn't exist. I mean, the Pentagon, you know, Wired Magazine reported last week that their number one enemy is constitutionalists and those that don't trust the government. Years after we broke that news. But it's okay. I mean, you know, Pentagon's now running checkpoints all over the country illegally, but NSA spying on us illegally. But you know what? I was thinking this morning that this show sounds crazy because it's in reality. But it is crazy. It is crazy. I hear my rebroadcast sometimes on the local affiliates, 590, 90.1 other stations. Or sometimes I hear radio playing clips of me making fun of me. I'll just randomly tune in as my playing clips making fun of me. Oh, look, he thinks the NSA's spying on us. What a kook. And I'm like, I understand why, even though this is all admitted, the ignorant, they're experts on Dancing with the Stars and America's Got Talent and, you know, NFL or whatever the case is. It does sound crazy. I mean, if I'm up here saying that thousands of schools, thousands now, have cameras in the bathrooms watching the kids go to the bathroom and take showers in public schools, that sounds crazy. If I announce all over the country, they now admit what 4 years ago they tried to cover up, that government-issued laptops are watching employees and students. Whether you're a government worker or a public school student, a government training student, you are being watched. And now I've got articles today where they're like, yeah, we're watching you at home. What's the big deal? I mean, it's beyond 1984. And that's why it sounds so crazy, because the elites are crazy. And if you've studied history, you will know that. Well, just look at what all the elites have done, different elites. They always think they're God and start murdering everybody in mass or demanding your firstborn be sacrificed or burning cities down for fun or, some neighbor challenges them so they take over and kill every man, woman, and child, you know, or line 2,000 miles of Roman roads with people crucified upside down just because they want to, hail the birthday of the emperor. Or, you know what, let's have 10,000 Roman slaves killed in the arena this month signify, you know, the marriage of the emperor. Just a raw exercise of power. I've got several articles today about the TSA in mainstream news. One of them out of Seattle, local TV, Como TV, where people are in wheelchairs after serious surgeries, one woman terminal with cancer, and the TSA removes the bandages to make sure it's not a bomb. See, there's no medical rules anymore. There's no Hippocratic Oath. There's no Fourth Amendment. There's no nothing anymore. There is simply the system is going to dominate you, and you're like, but it's so horrible. It's so brutal. That's the point. The point is they're going to change your mores. They're going to change your attitude. They're going to train you, line up, and the Army's going to search you when we say, and you know what? I've got an article here out of Austin. They admit it happened. The family calls an ambulance and says, he's flailing around all over the place. Dad's flailing around. And so along with the fire truck and the ambulance comes the police, and the police get there, and they order a man having a full-born violent seizure, that's in my news stack here today, to freeze. And in their threat continuum, first they start billy clubbing you or tasering you, and then 10 of them will sit on you till you die. And of course the guy's biting his tongue, flopping around, bleeding all over the place. And they're just like, well, he isn't following our orders. Let's sit on him and taser him over and over again until he had a heart attack. And they admitted this in the report. I have this, NBC News. And I was reading some of the comments in one of the reports, and they're like, well, that's good. He didn't follow orders. Hey, your kid's mentally retarded? They're dead. Or your kid's autistic? They're dead. Because they don't follow the order. I read all the time about deaf people being attacked. And again, this isn't a cop bashing fest. The public's been dumbed down. The society has been dumbed down. To now, they don't want to hire police who've got over 100 IQs. And they tell them, hey, here's your threat continuum. Here's your threat spectrum. And they got there, and the guys flop around. They said, stop flopping around. That's in the, and he didn't. And they're like, no, he's having a seizure. And they went, doesn't matter. And they all jumped on him, beat him up, started tasering him over and over again, over and over and over again, until EMTs got there. And the Austin Police Department's defending it. They go, well, you shouldn't have a seizure. We're going to kill you. I mean, you know. And you read this, you're like, this doesn't make any sense. It makes total sense. And there it is. Cops taser man for having seizure. Austin, Texas. That's an RT article about it. And again, it's about the mindlessness. I mean, I've been at the airport and seen them when some 90-something-year-old woman looks like she's already dead. And they tell her, get up, go through the scanner. And the woman looks up, obviously can't hear a thing. They'll have like their granddaughter with them who looks like they're 50-something years old. And they're like, get her up, get up. They're like, oh, sorry, he hasn't walked in years. And you read about these stories all the time. They just say, we don't care, get her up. And they'll point to other passengers, get up, pick her up. And it's about the humiliation of the old. All the different TV shows hate children, hate old people. Hey, let's euthanize them. It's about dehumanizing us where we're lower than animals while they build up the rights of animals. You understand? Yeah, I'll give you the big news when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones.
Living on the road, my friend.
It's going to keep you free and clean.
Free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron. And your breath is hard as kerosene.
Weren't your mom's only boy.
Weren't your mama's only boy. But her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Back to your dream.
We ought to come back with a little stanza by Merle Haggard.
Poncho was a bandit boy.
We are back live. I didn't even get into the top news here. I haven't even gotten into it. I haven't even mentioned really what's coming up yet. I mean, here it is. We knew it was coming. It's in the New York Times. Kurt Nemo wrote an article about it. It's up at Infowars.com. It is a big, big deal. We've known for 9 months our so-called government run by the foreign megabanks. Remember, we've been captured as well through financial fraud. Now they want to militarily put troops on the streets just to get everybody officially conquered. And the poor Syrians who've tried to work with the West, just like Gaddafi's tried to work with the West, are absolutely under 9 months of sustained al-Qaeda attack. And as you know now, starting what, 8, almost 9 days ago, Turkey began shelling the entire border region that they said so that they could help bring in more jihadis, mainly out of Saudi Arabia. And they have U.S. troops right there on the border on record. Kurt Nemo links to all this, training them and arming them to go in. And the Russians that are there backing up the Syrians, they have been fighting to keep the infiltrators from getting in, where they can then have house-to-house battles in the different Syrian cities. They're trying to stop them at the border. And so NATO-made mortars, that's come out, started getting fired back into a few civilian areas so they could then blame it on Syria. And then the big tell is that Syria never said they were doing it, but our media said Syria admits they're attacking Turkey. And then Syria's like, no, we're not. We don't want you to invade us. You're doing this. You're the ones attacking us, but it doesn't matter. Our media is now the same ones that, you know, tell you the Federal Reserve is a government agency. They're now saying that they're going to have to bomb Syria, which, of course, they promised 8 months ago they'd never do, because Syria is attacking poor little Turkey with the biggest military in the Middle East. U.S. moves to impose buffer zone inside Syria near Jordan border. By the way, I want to get Cybele Edmonds on. She, of course, worked at the FBI decoding NSA. She's got a lot of inside intel on this. Let's try to get Cybele on tomorrow or Friday if we can. Or maybe Sunday. U.S. moves to impose buffer zone inside Syria. So they now have one on the Turkey-Syria border and now the Jordan border with the shelling. And it's on. They're now sending in publicly U.S. troops and Pentagon advisors that they admitted eight, nine months ago they already had there. But now it's just they're going public with the peace action to protect Turkey. This would be like if Mexico publicly attacked Guatemala and had insurgents attack, try to overthrow Guatemala on their southern border, and then said, we need the U.S. to attack Guatemala because Guatemala is attacking Mexico. And everybody is so dumb, there's a nine-month war where Mexico is attacking Guatemala, you know, to use that analogy. It's just so a stronger state. Mexico is a much stronger state militarily than Guatemala. That's why I use the Turkey-Syria thing. And, I mean, this is a Roman ruins everywhere, big, beautiful cities, an old world, not a third world country. You know, we've had Sunni exiles on the show, like Syrian girl who was run out by the previous Assad. She doesn't even like Assad. We need to get Syrian girl back on too. And you know, she's been calling it like it is from the start accurately. And she's against what's happening because to watch Al-Qaeda brought in and blow up the old mosque and churches and synagogues and blow up the oldest grocery store in the world, the World Heritage Site. I mean, they just blew the whole thing up. I mean, they're blowing that place up. And the most immoral war crimes you can imagine on record. It's on the news. And it's patriotic. The Al-Qaeda goes and finds the dad, says, we're going to kill your family if you don't go truck bomb. The dad gets in and drives the truck bomb in. And if they don't, they chop the kids' heads off and throw them off roofs. And it's on the foreign news. I mean, this is what our government's doing. And Mitt Romney's like, Obama's not doing enough. Get in there and overthrow Assad. So when we get back, Turkey warns Syria it may use greater force. U.S. military is sent to Jordan to help with crisis in Syria. The crisis they created. Unbelievable.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And there's a wind on down the road. Our shadow is taller than our soul. Thank you so much for joining us on this worldwide transmission. I am Alex Jones, your host. We are here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. And we are, again, transmitting worldwide today on XM Channel 166 and over 120 AM and FM affiliates, as well as Global Shortwave, WWCR, and, of course, audio streams and the free podcast at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com and streaming video at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. So again, I mean, I've talked about this a lot. I want to open the phones up right now to take just a few calls from active duty military personnel. This is public. They just count on the general public being totally ignorant. I know the troops, active duty I talk to, just shake their heads and they go, no, this proves everything you're talking about, how Al-Qaeda works for the West. We know Al-Qaeda was created by the West, and we know they used them to attack the Serbs in the 90s and then say, oh, look, the Serbs are fighting back. We've got to have NATO attack Serbia. And now they've used them against Libya. They're using them against Syria. And then they're saying, oh, my gosh, every day a mortar gets shot across the border and blows up some, village shack. I don't think anybody's even been killed. So we've got to invade the whole country now while Syria is under concerted attack. And house-to-house fighting going on in the major cities. I mean, it is so incredibly immoral what's going on. Turkey warns Syria it may use greater force. And the New York Times, the folks told us about yellow cake in Niger and aluminum tubes, and we're caught lying. With Syria's civil strife coursing through major cities and unsettling neighboring countries. And look, they report it like, oh, the civil strife. Isn't it so sad? When the West literally on record started the whole thing, the Turkish military sounded a somber warning on Wednesday that it may respond more forcibly after days of shelling from Syria. And the shelling is a few mortars, which the evidence shows are being shot by the al-Qaeda rebels that, well, I mean, it's a false flag. It's a staged event. News reports on Wednesday spoke of an intensified fighting close to the Turkish-Syrian border near the Syrian frontier settlement, with mortar and machine gun fire clearly audible from the Turkish side. As fighting near the 550-mile border has unfolded over the past week, several mortar bombs have landed on Turkish soil, prompting Turkish gunners to return fire. It has not been clear whether the Syrian mortar is deliberate or the result of an inaccurate fire and clashes between government forces and rebels seeking the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad. Well, I thought Syria 7-8 days ago took credit for it. Of course, they didn't. Again, ladies and gentlemen, on 8-8-8 in 2008, I got up and the news was announcing Russia has attacked Georgia. Even though I'd been on the air 14 years or whatever it was at the time, 13 years, and was thought I was savvy, I went on my show that day and announced Russia had attacked Georgia. And then it started coming out, well, wait, actually, oh, and it was even like on BBC. Well, actually, when Georgian forces attacked the Russian forces at Abkhazia and South Ossetia. But our media just kept going for a few weeks that, no, Russia attacked. And then, you know, I was an evil traitor for saying that, well, no, actually, it's admitted by NATO that South Ossetia and Abkhazia were attacked by Georgian forces. I mean, they went into the demilitarized zone, those disputed zones since the end of World War II, that has Russian populations that were persecuted by the Georgians, vice versa, you know, kind of the Kosovo-type situation again, just in a different area, but similar. And they just went into the barracks and killed hundreds of Russian soldiers. So the Russians just poured in and pushed them back, rolled nukes in and said, okay, NATO, get out or we're going to take the whole country. NATO blinked and pulled back. But what does that tell the world? It came out that NATO ran that as some weird test of Russia to see what Russia would do, and Russia did not blink. The globalists are insane, ladies and gentlemen. They've got our Navy massing off the coast of China right now. China is teetering financially, getting ready to go under. I mean, this is crazy. And again, our country's run by the globalists that are playing all our countries off against each other. The Iranian government's bad. The Russian government's bad. Our government's bad. The Japanese government predominantly is bad. The Israeli government's bad. The Syrian government's bad. They're all corrupt. Corruption has become so accepted that that's the prerequisite to being in power, is lying and deceiving and bought off by globalist special interests that are bigger than all the governments. What? You can look this up. Of the top 100 corporations or of the top 100 biggest economies, years ago it passed the line of more than half were corporations. Walmart's bigger than most big governments, most big GDPs, most big countries' GDPs. That's just Walmart, ExxonMobil. But they're just corporations. They're not the banking cartels that are innumerably bigger through fraud, who've created $1,000+ trillion in fake garbage that they got everybody to buy into. Now they're holding everyone hostage, and they need war as the political smokescreen. So I want to ask, we'll go right to your calls for just a few military callers. What is your take on this morally? To know that, you know, even the Council on Foreign Relations and the Washington Post and LA Times, they admit, okay, yeah, 25% to 50% of the fighters are al-Qaeda. Yeah, they're blowing up churches. Yeah, they're going to kick women out of college and make them wear burqas, just like they've done in Libya. And yeah, but you know what? We're bringing down Assad. We'll use al-Qaeda. We'll deal with them later. Yeah, a year after the killing of Gaddafi or less, they're already saying they've got to reinvade Libya because of al-Qaeda. They're saying they want to invade all these other African countries because of al-Qaeda, where al-Qaeda isn't even at in places like Rwanda and where else are they at? You know, down there where the Lord's Resistance group's at in Central Africa. I mean, they're saying that group's in three or four different places. So all of this is happening. All of this is going on. All of this is unfolding. And We're sitting here watching our country historically. We are watching all of this historically happen. I mean, history is going on right now in front of all of us. History is taking place right now in front of us. And I've never seen something this openly immoral, this openly, completely and totally, absolutely, patently fraudulent. I have never seen anything this... I mean, they've done corrupt things in the past. We've had corrupt elites for a long time. But this is so over the top to have Al-Qaeda in there engaging in mass war crimes, throwing people off roofs, chopping their heads off, blowing up churches, desecrating churches, dressing up in Orthodox priest robes, making jokes, Al-Qaeda videos, you know, where they're on tape, going, yes, America's helping us today, but I will kill you soon. We will hoist the Al-Qaeda flag over the White House. We will kill you infidel Christians, and we'll blow Israel up. And we're sitting there watching this as our government says, hey, we've got to take all your rights and all of your liberties. We've got to do this because Al-Qaeda is everywhere. They've got to take 92-year-old women who've just had, you know, cancer surgery, who are going home to die, and they've got to rip the bandages off of them. They've got to rip appendages out of people. They've got to pull catheters out of people's genitals. They've got to rip colostomy bags off as feces splatters everywhere. This is on the news. They're like, what is that? It's a colostomy bag. I'm ripping it off. You know, this is what things have turned. It's all just total acts of domination by crazy elites. And they know what they're doing, but they're still insane. They're crazy like a fox. But this is all insane because the elite is insane. Here's the toll-free number, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And we will get you up and on the air today because I want to hear from you. I want to know where you think all this is going. I mean, you don't think Switzerland's publicly saying they're getting ready for Europe's collapse and massively increasing their military to keep refugees out of Switzerland because, you know, they're just doing that for nothing. They've never done this except pre-World War II. That was the last time. Speaking of World War II, you know, I had read this back when I was had time to read history books as a pleasurable experience. I used to read several big history books every month, sometimes every week. And I remember reading conspiracy theory out of Hitler's mouth, that when he didn't like what somebody was saying, he would say they were a conspiracy theorist. Before that, they would say, you're crazy, or you're making things up, or that it's wild rumors, or that you were an old lady. Those were the terms they would use to discredit somebody as just a throwaway line. But the word conspiracy theory, the first time it's been confirmed to have been used, there's an article at Infowars.com about this today. Madman Hitler in 1945, the Holocaust is a conspiracy theory, and he broadcast from his bunker underneath the Reich Chancellery. That... it was a conspiracy theory to say that he had killed any Jews. And my only point is that when they use terms like conspiracy theory, it's just amazing. Okay, continuing here, folks, I see that your calls are coming in. I'll go to those here in a moment. We've got Ben Stein coming on the broadcast. Matt Stein, I've tried to get Ben Stein on. I said that. Matt Stein, when technology fails, to give us his perspective on this and also this culture. Why is the mainstream media pushing 24/7 right now that there's going to be a societal collapse? See, that's a meme they're pushing, but they're always acting like it's going to be some outside event that happens. So it's kind of collectively in the subconscious because they know the general public. There was an article out yesterday about one of the stars of one of these shows where the, you know, the right wingers don't want to turn their guns in, so they're terrorists. What's it called? Revolution. He's on the show, and he says people start fights with him just hearing that he's playing a terrorist. So, I mean, that's how this works. That's why people are always going to liquor stores and shooting Sikhs because they're wearing a turban on their head and have a beard. They don't know there's scores of religions that, you know, have big beards and turbans on their heads over in the East, Near East, Far East, you name it. And they don't even apologize. When these guys go to prison, they say, oh, I know he was Al-Qaeda. You know, when they get the guy up on stand, I've seen the cases where I know he's one. That's it. It's just they're just there now pushing this whole thing, getting everybody ready for the collapse. So everyone just expects it and then blames, oh, peak oil or the Kuiper Belt object or, you know, whatever it is, when it's a organized Agenda 21 implosion of society. James, Jared, John, and others. James is in the Marine Corps. Do you disagree with me? Do you agree? I mean, it's admitted they're putting Al-Qaeda in Syria and gave Libya over to them and gave them 10,000 missiles. And we're simultaneously now being told they've got to attack Syria and Iran because they're Al-Qaeda. That was in the news yesterday. What's your take on this?
Hello, Alex?
Yes, sir.
No, this is James. Look here, I've been Marine Corps, and I've worked in logistics and communications. So far is the deal where they tell you about the mortars hitting. You know, our mortars, like the biggest ones we have, the 80-millimeter mortars. They only, statistically speaking, they only will get about 3 miles. From the border from Syria to Turkey, you're looking at about 260-something miles from the border, so they need to get their logistics right when they tell people stuff like that. Guys like us out there that see what's going on, that's been there, that understand that all this is a big wash. And if they keep this up, we're going to basically have ourselves undermanned, ungunned, and everything else, and then we're going to be taken over. See, also, I think the people that have done this a long time ago. Do you know back in 1970, I went to Marine Corps in 1978, they were trying to get us to wear the blue helmets, and us guys back then refused to wear those helmets. And we said we would not do it. But that's the reason why they're going after old guys like us, but we were dedicated to the Corps and to the United States.
Yeah, I've seen reports of 60-year-old Marines right now that are in combat, some even older. Just amazing how many of the older generation they've had to go get join the military, rejoin.
Exactly, because simple reason that we was taught, I mean, from old school, and we was, like I said, we was dedicated, but these guys that got nowadays that understand that they have basically exhausted all your supplies and everything else, so people need to wake up, and you're right. I mean, I've listened to your show for a long time. I think when you first started up, I listened to you, though. Us guys sitting in the background, we're basically monitoring everything that's happening, and so everything is, most Marines I know that's in the units I've been in, they're just hunkering down and just waiting to see what's actually going on. Because right now, they can't be exposed, and the people that is in charge of the show, they are tyrannical, and they have basically lost their moral scope.
Exactly, because America's never been perfect, but I've never publicly using Al-Qaeda to go invade countries that aren't attacking anybody, and then saying on the news, we've got to attack Syria because they're Al-Qaeda, when it's admitted it's Al-Qaeda attacking Syria. I mean, how dumb do they think the general public is? Well, pretty darn dumb. But like you just said, military, like family I've got that's been in Turkey, been in Jordan, been in Israel, they all know the players. For the military, it's blowing them away to be publicly helping Al-Qaeda right now.
Exactly. Well, I mean, what has to happen is the people got to realize that between Al-Qaeda and CIA, we know that Brzezinski started it. Matter of fact, we over there in Pakistan and running around doing the Soviet. Like I say, you know, everything Pachinik has said, everything that Sabel has said, and people within the agency, the NSA, the CIA, all the good people that know what's going on, they like to say, they basically just see how far this stuff is going to go. But right now, they don't want to be compromised for the simple reason that they can be taken out. So that's why we're going to see what happens and what comes to a head, and then I think things will change pretty soon.
I hear you. God bless you. You know, I agree with that, and that's a point I've been meaning to make. We're going to go to break and come back with more of your calls. I've been meaning to make that for weeks here, is that, hey, there's not just bad guys in this world. There's a lot of good people, and they need to stay right where they're at, because people ask, why am I alive? Well, the grace of God, number one. But number two, there are a lot of good people in government and out of government and in media. There are all sorts of people in media that have quietly helped us over the years get the word out, even though sometimes I'm not the best spokesman. I'll say it myself up front. I'm just doing the best job I can. That's all I can do. But there have been so many people that have given InfoWars a shot because they know this information overall is very accurate. People like George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM helped put us on the map to an even greater level. People like Matt Drudge of DrudgeReport.com. Because they're good guys who realize that there's no future if we don't turn this around. I mean, folks, this is pure evil we're dealing with. Our country has been hijacked by foreign banks who brag they've hijacked us, and now they've got America on a kamikaze mission that is meant to destroy our name, bankrupt us. I agree with the Marine. This is meant to set America up. What's happening right now? The whole world's watching. Your calls are coming up. Again, I've talked to some military people that go, well, that's just war. Yeah, we'll use al-Qaeda to kill the Shiites, and then we'll kill the Shiites after that. You know, let's just get them killing each other. Hey, they're using the threat of al-Qaeda and all this to take our liberties, while in the real training manuals, it says it's for the American people. It was never about al-Qaeda. Do you get it? Al-Qaeda works for Saudi Arabian intelligence, who works for British intelligence, who works for the Rothschilds on record. Look at who founded our CIA out of the OSS, British intelligence. I'm not blaming the British people, but the imperial model from the Empire Wars of the last 500 years was perfected by British intelligence. So their model is the modern model used today. This is a proxy war, divide and conquer, balkanization program that you're seeing, and it's evil. It's pure evil, and they're going to stage terror attacks, there's no doubt, and blame it on domestic groups and say that we work with al-Qaeda. That's already in the Army training manuals. And I'm not going along with this, okay? This is how they plan on conquering our country. And it's just amazing, amazing to see it. Let's talk to Jared in Oklahoma, who's Marine Corps, then we'll talk to John, who's Army. Jared in Oklahoma, your take on all this.
Hello, Mr. Jones. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I think it's crazy. You know, I was recently just kicked out of the Marine Corps because I didn't agree with their ideology of going to Afghanistan and kill everybody you see. You know, I stand up for the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. I've been listening to your show for about 3 years. And if you don't agree with these people in the military's ideology of kill first, ask questions later, you're branded as a lunatic, a conspiracy theorist, you know, mental mushroom head. And it's just crazy.
Well, you know why they say kill first, ask questions later. A lot of times it's whoever fires first will end up winning the fight. The problem is then you lose the moral authority long term. See, you kill first if you're in a war and there's the enemy. But when you employ those type of operations against the general public, you lose the hearts and minds. But again, the real larger strategy is to destroy our name worldwide. See, I learned about this over a decade ago when I noticed globalist publications like News Corp would badmouth America overseas in newspapers, but then not do it here domestically. So, see, they play both sides. These are globalists above the countries. What's your take, though, on the West injecting upwards of 50,000 al-Qaeda now into Syria, but saying we have to attack Syria because they're with al-Qaeda?
It's just brainwashing people because the average American doesn't really understand what's going on or even takes the time out of the day to investigate certain things.
Absolutely. I hear you and I appreciate your call. Let's go to John in Tennessee, who's Army. John, what's your take on this?
How you doing, Alex? I'm a first-time caller. Just been listening to you for the last couple of months here. I feel like I have a lot to catch up to feel like I'm on the up and up, like that Marine caller that we spoke to a little while back. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Sure, it's okay. What do you think of them putting al-Qaeda into Syria? I mean, that's admitted. I mean, is that a good thing?
I think it's despicable. At the end of the day, you've got the same guys who are destroying Syria under our own government's intent, And you know, these, if you look around and see reports from, you know, actual Syrian civilians, you see that they say that these guys that are these rebels, they're like 95% of them are foreign.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute. Yeah, and roughly half of them are Al-Qaeda.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, it's another hour of Worldwide Radio, second hour. Thank you for joining us. Coming up, we're going to talk to a special guest about Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe. Get into the economic news. But now the so-called United States, that means the banker-run U.S. military, bankster-run, is doing what we knew they would do, carving out controlled military zones to inject jihadis, Al-Qaeda and others, on the Turkey-Syria border and the Jordan-Syria border, where they have U.S. bases set up on both sides, training them, along with other NATO forces. And they've got CIA, MI6, and others inside the country. Russian general's been confirmed to be killed. It's a proxy war. The Russians backing the Syrians and the United States and NATO backing the Saudi Arabian Al-Qaeda people. And it's unbelievably immoral. They started the war. They call it a humanitarian action. It is wild. Now they're moving towards a strike on Iran. That's in the news. We've got a caller who's in the Army, John in Tennessee. John, overall, when you talk to your friends in the military, are they even concerned about what's going on in the Middle East, or are they conscious of the fact that they're gearing up towards what Secretary of Defense Panetta called a larger regional war, where the United States and NATO are allied with the Sunni Wahhabist Al-Qaeda in a battle against Shiites? Does that sound like a fun thing to be in the middle of a Arab civil war?
No, definitely not. I mean, the Sunni Shiite thing has been going on for quite some time, and there's no doubt in my mind that the whole MO with that is to just, you know, create disruption in that general area. Just wanted to get you up on me. I was medically retired from the military back in 2010. I'm not active duty right now.
I just wanted my take, the take period of active duty or people that just got out. So, what I mean, if you're talking to friends, though, what's their take on all this?
Well, if I'm talking to veterans who are already out like me, some of them are opening up their eyes to it because I don't know. I mean, when you get out, like it's been for me, you know, you sit around, you think a lot, think about everything that happened, and I couldn't help but, you know, want to look more into everything. I actually had a point I wanted to bring up about the Bin Laden raid, because I saw an article on your website about it early this morning. I ended up doing 25 cumulative months in Iraq as an infantryman, and I conducted tons of raids. When you put the big picture together, thinking about that whole Bin Laden raid, something that just makes no sense whatsoever, and that a lot of people really haven't been bringing up, is that if Bin Laden, according to the way their story was living and breathing inside that compound before they conducted that raid, for SEAL Team 6 to be going in and raiding that compound and know that he's alive in there and not take him alive makes no sense. And here's why. From an intelligence standpoint, if the Obama administration were able to get their hands on a live captured Bin Laden, the benefit to their administration is unquantifiable. They could parade him around, but
he worked for the globalists. He worked for Brzezinski. So you can't do that. Plus, the helicopter blew up, and they blew up the rest of the SEAL Team 6 a month later, and it was some type of dummy guy, some kind of lookalike. So they threw the body in the sea. I mean, it's like little kids believe that Santa Claus comes down the chimney. I was 3 years old. And they were telling me that on Christmas Eve, and I said, he's too fat. And because I'm a bad person. I mean, I should believe in Santa Claus, but I don't. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously the whole story's a joke. The Situation Room photos are fake. The whole thing's fake. If people believe Bin Laden was really killed in that raid, they believe in the Tooth Fairy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
My life has value.
I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 10th day of October 2012 on this Wednesday edition. Absolutely. When you have that attitude and let the power structure know that you're aware of their implosion of society to shut down their competition and consolidate power and overthrow the gains that Western civilization has made for liberty and freedom and a level playing field since 1215 and the Magna Carta. The globalists want to reverse all that, and they admit that's their plan. We have to get angry. We have to say no to that plan. All right, for the balance of the hour, we are joined by Matt Stein, best-selling author of When Technology Fails and More. And I wanted to get him on, we're going to him here in a few minutes, to talk about the phenomenon of all these TV shows about societal collapse and what is the power structure getting us ready for. Homeland Security TV and print ads about zombie apocalypse. Be ready for it. Implying, you know, when the welfare checks don't work anymore, the general public's going to turn into something like zombies. We've made that point for many years. And now Paul Watson's article up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe. Fears over race wars, economic fallout prompt new military battalions. And that's in the mainline Swiss news. And again, if you're just joining us for the first time, I am Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, from Los Angeles, California to Chicago, Illinois, from Dallas, Texas to Rochester, New York, from places like Knoxville, Tennessee, to places like Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thank you so much for joining us today. And anybody can listen to the free audio streams and the podcasts you can subscribe to at Infowars.com. There's a war on for your mind, hence Infowars.com. And we're fighting the construction of the technocratic, technotronic, technocracy-based prison planet, hence PrisonPlanet.com and the video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv. I didn't do any plugging in the first hour. I always seem to forget that, and it's important to do that because we're self-funded here by our sponsors and listeners and the different ways that we've been able to build a news organization with all totaled about 50 people, 51 people, counting some of the contractors, upwards of 10 reporters now, the video editors, the researchers, customer service, the shipping department, all of it, 52 souls total, the writers, Kurt Nemo, Don Salazar, Aaron Dykes, Paul Watson, Steve Watson, his brother. We're going to be breaking all this down here, but you know that in the last 2 months I launched, or in the last month and a half, I launched a new salvo in the info war because of internet kill switches and calls to shut down print and the dinosaur media imploding online, not just in print. I decided to go with what listeners for 15 years of my 17 years on air have begged for, a newsletter, a magazine. But I finally got to the point. I've got a graphics department, editors, all the people. And we put out the first issue in September, The Economic Collapse, Bankster's Plot to Destroy U.S. Economy and World Economy, Rome Burned, Will We? And then we've got just a limited number of those left because everything's sold out. We kept some, so the first subscriptions get the first issue in the next 12. And then we have the new Technocracy Drone Combat Robot, Globalist Statements of the World They Plan to Build, The End of Humanity, Rise of the Robots, If They Have Their Way. That has almost sold out. So I decided, because it costs a little more, but it's a little lighter, so the shipping, I sell these at cost is the point, because this is an outreach, so you have a good-looking tool with great graphics and great articles and powerful headlines and powerful content to hand people. In this world of everything going digital, when they zig, I zag. When print dies, I go into print. And that's why we have the new glossy. Now, there are a few thousand left of the InfoWars newsprint October issue, The Technocracy. And those are discounted even below cost until we get rid of those at InfoWarsStore.com. And at cost, we now have 10,000 as a test we did, and they just came in, of the glossy. And, folks, we got several places to test it out and found a wonderful place in Ohio that we're getting it done, 48 pages, and it is just really high-quality glossy. And believe me, wait till I put 50,000 of these on the streets in Austin every month and then 50,000 out to you. We've got distributors lined up around the block. I've just got to get that bureaucracy going to get that going, people ready to put this out in their area with their local content added to it. They can either expand the size of the magazine or put it inside the current format. We've just got big publishers, actually, and magazine and newspaper publishers ready. So this is definitely a success, thanks to you, the listeners, supporting us. 10,000 of the first of the new issues in glossy. There will be no more newsprint. I personally like it, but everybody in the office likes the glossy better. And so it's now going to be glossy in the future. Now, most of you will get, in the October issue, you will get the newsprint one. But if you want to order in bulk at cost, the glossy, you can. But starting in November, everything will be glossy, no more newsprint. So right now, you can still get the newsprint and the glossy at InfoWarsStore.com. And you support getting the word out. I mean, you come up to people with something like this. It looks like the old Rolling Stone. You know, it's the big format magazine. Everybody else has made their magazine smaller. This is the big format glossy. And I mean, high with a poster inside. So much more. And believe me, these 10,000 will sell fast because they're in groups of 10, 20, 50, up to 100 at cost. And then the old newsprints, we've reduced those by what, about 30% in price to below cost just to blast them out the door. So again, InfoWarsStore.com. Lastly, later in the show, I am going to get to this in full. Coming up next Thursday and Friday, I'm going to broadcast 48 hours straight. Now, I'll be on air about 15, 16 hours of that, or maybe 20 the way I was looking at it. But we're going to have everybody from David Icke to Greg Palast to Sean Stone to John Rappaport to Mike Adams to Webster Tarpley. We're going to, these are all confirmed. You got George Norrie here? Or are these people you're hoping to get? Because most of these I know are confirmed. Do we have George Norrie yet? We'll get. Oh, good. He's confirmed. Okay, good. Just making sure. I just said get him yesterday. Well, that's, thank you, George. Jakari Jackson will then co-host Dan Bedondi, Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. We're going to have Gerald Celente, Max Kaiser, Ben Fuchs, and a bunch of other people that we're lining up. Some big surprises. And remind me to call my celebrity friends and try to get them on the show as well. Well, you want to hear Charlie Sheen on? But I can get him. Oh, no, cause a whole other big meltdown situation. I'm afraid to do it. Maybe Willie Nelson. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they said Willie was saying some kind of things. By the way, every time I talk to locals that are friends with Woody Harrelson, oh, I need to call Alex. I want to go on his show. But then we call him, and he's always like, yeah, when I'm done doing this movie. Same thing with Mike Judge. Mike Judge is out hanging out with Weldon, drinking beer last weekend, 2 weekends ago. Oh, yeah, call me. I want to come on. Okay, Mike Judge, we know you listen. Come on. Anyways, side issue. Weldon Henson, something else. I need to go hang out with him. Anyways, side issue. The point is we're going to have a lot of surprises on the show. Maybe Dave Mustaine, Billy Corgan. Who knows? Maybe I'll get a famous rock. Maybe we'll get Robert Plant on the show. He lives there in Austin. Give him a... Okay, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Maybe I'll get Yoko Ono or John Lennon on the show. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I'm out of control, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not bragging about all these famous people that are listeners. It's a fact that we're starting to win the info war, that so many prominent people are listeners. Joe Perry is a listener. I want to say hi to him. And he's invited me out when they were doing their new record a year ago or so. I didn't have time to go out to L.A. I'm not bragging about that. The point is I could just keep naming names here of the people that have reached out to us over the years, or the people that we know are listeners. Bruce Willis. Rick Linklater told that story on air, and later I confirmed it. But I'll never tell. Bruce Willis is a listener. Talked about how he woke up to the New World Order in Vanity Fair. Well, Bruce, we haven't ever... Maybe Bruce hadn't been on the show because I haven't tried to get him on. It's kind of like when I'm hanging out with Harry Dean Stanton and all these movie stars at Jesse's birthday party, and I didn't even try to get any of them on the show. I'm just too cool for school's the problem. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Side issue, you're not tuning in to hear about that. The point is we're going to have some surprises as well during the 48-hour Money Bomb broadcast. We can buy some more equipment, get the satellite uplinks in. We've certainly come a long way, thanks to all of you. I'll tell you who the real celebrities are in my mind. There are trailblazers in the media that are standing up against tyranny. I don't care if you're a local AM or FM host. I don't care if you're a national TV host. I don't care if you're an author. You know, one of the coolest people ever, even though I didn't agree with all of his politics, was, people like Kurt Vonnegut was a listener. But he told me he was too old to come on the show, and I guess he was because he was dead 6 months later. But the point is, there are a lot of people that love freedom out there, and they need to speak out. Didn't agree with a lot of stuff that Gore Vidal said, but he's been on the show many times. He's dead now. God rest his soul. But he had the courage to talk about 9/11 being an inside job and CNN being run by the Pentagon. Point is, there's a lot of people that love liberty out there. We have a lot of friends. One of them is Matt Stein, mattstein.com. I'm going to get to him when we come back. Hold him a little bit in the next hour so he gets his time. But big 48-hour broadcast next Thursday and Friday. Stein is a design engineer, green builder, and author of the two best-selling books, When Disaster Strikes, A Comprehensive Guide to Emergency Planning and Crisis Survival. It's excellent. We have it at Infowars.com, along with Strategic Relocation by Joel Skousen. And When Technology Fails, A Manual for Self-Reliance, Sustainability, Real Sustainability, and Surviving the Long Emergency. And he's been talking about this for decades, and he joins us now. Why is it so hot? Why is it so big? Because, you know, we were talking off air. He was talking to my producer a few days ago. We were trying to set him up last week about the fact that you have all these new TV shows out obsessed with all of this. All of these new episodes like Revolution and others. And you know, The World After Humans and all these publications and Discovery and history shows and the elites buying bunkers and governments digging in. And then I have this report out of prisonplanet.com today by Paul Joseph Watson. Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe. Fears over race wars, economic fallout prompt new military battalions. And I'll read some of these quotes. You've got the British Ministry of Defense report from 2007 predicting all this by 2015. They're not saying it might happen. They're predicting it. And then you realize the banks are engineering it, but now they've engineered it so far, I don't think they can even reverse it now, even if they tried. Perhaps I'm wrong, but Matt, the whole world, especially the rich, are gearing up for collapse, and there's this obsession with it. Are they preparing us psychologically for the economic collapse, or is something really coming in some celestial cycle? What do you think is really happening?
Well, in my opinion, clearly something is definitely happening, and that people, I mean, you know, we all go into high school and we draw graphs. And we've got a whole bunch of graphs for the state of the world, the natural systems of the world that keep life as we go going on planet Earth. They're all headed for the bottom. So basically, business as usual is going to collapse the world as we know it. Now, on top of that, there's a guaranteed game over civilization changing event. And that's the sun has these massive solar storms. And several times a year, coronal mass ejections of the size that would end life as we know it on planet Earth. Not kill everybody, but wipe out the grid, the infrastructure collapse, governments collapse, stock market collapse, all of that. These size CMEs launch out of the sun several times a year, regardless of the solar cycle. It's just that most of the time, you know, with the big giant solar system and Earth's just a tiny little dot, so most of the time it goes away from the planet Earth and nothing happens. But statistically, we get nailed by a storm that size roughly once every 75 to 100 years. That's been 90 years since the last one in 1921. It was only 60 years before that since the big 1859 Carrington event. So do the math. That's an average of 75 years between the last two big events. And it's been 90 years since the last one. So we're basically overdue. So I think intuitively, humanity on a mass scale is understanding that we can't keep doing what we're doing because we're soiling the nest and taking the planet down. And business as usual, profit as the god that runs the entire world, like the profit is the supreme king, and it doesn't matter if we kill the planet so long as we make a buck while we're doing it. I think that that model that we built our world on is also killing the world. So we got natural events from Mother Earth. We got the very distinct possibility that a place like Iran, I mean, according to some people, like this pseudonym Reza Khalili, who claims he was in the Revolutionary Guard, was educated in America, joined the Revolutionary Guard when the revolution in Iran got disillusioned and joined the CIA. Whether he's, I can't say whether the guy is a fictional character.
I understand, but what is he saying? Stuff.
What he's saying is that Iran actually has several nuclear devices, including EMPs, that they put together.
Well, that's what Colonel Schaefer, who is definitely not a hawk, says, and I respect him a lot. And I also have family pretty high up in the Army, and they told me 5 years ago, look, Iran already has two nukes. So I don't know if that's internal propaganda or whether it's true, but Colonel Schaefer believes it.
I agree. I don't know either whether it's propaganda to push us supporting Israel, but if they actually have the 2 to 10 nuclear devices they're talking about, then I think they're just waiting for an Israeli or U.S. attack to justify doing an EMP attack on Israel and the United States to just totally shut us down.
Yeah, I think that's what the big gear up, that's what the Swiss government says, is they're worried about World War III starting. The Secretary of Defense says it could lead to that. We'll be right back with our guest, long segment coming up to break this down. Guest. Look, here's what I'm saying. If you just tune in for the first time, welcome. I'm Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. I know governments are buying 1.6 billion bullets. It was 1.2 four or five months ago. Now it's 1.6. They are buying drones. They are setting up checkpoints. There's every day now I see articles all over the country with regular army, not even in drills, running real checkpoints, searching people on highways. There is this total preparation by governments everywhere for collapse. And the big one I see is economic. The 1.5, conservatively, $1,500 trillion in fraudulent debt created by the banks that they induced their agents in government that they lobbied to get in place or ran for office. They even appoint, you know, the leaders of Italy and Greece now. I mean, and brag that they've conquered Europe. They are imploding things. So you've got that. Then you've got what always accompanies depression, engineered or not, and that's big wars as political distractions. That's in the standard playbook. History follows this pattern because tyrants act the same. those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And then you add to this government massively increasing underground bunker building, but the tales are classified. And you've got what I was just reading earlier, and Matt Stein is starting to get into the reports that, and Gerald Celente believes this as well, along with many other analysts, that if you do attack Iran, they're not going to have to stage stuff. Because Iran is going to respond with asymmetrical warfare. Of course, the globalists will stage something if they have to, like they're doing, claiming Turkey is shelling, or claiming Syria is shelling Turkey as a pretext to carry that out. So just amazing things are happening. But I want to get back into this nuke situation. But they admit that if they bomb the Bashir reactor and some of the other facilities, that that will make Chernobyl or even Fukushima look tame. Because when you have reactors being blown up, then they are going to put off some very nasty isotopes. So we'll get into that with Mr. Stein, who's an expert in this, and Matthew Stein here in a moment. But first off, Switzerland prepares for mass civil unrest in Europe. Fears over race wars, economic fallout prompt new military battalions. Despite being one of the most stable and economically vibrant countries in the world, primarily as a result of its refusal to join the euro, Switzerland is preparing for mass civil unrest in Central Europe that could spill over its border by mobilizing troops to deal with potential disorder. So they're expanding the troops and calling for more brigades. The Swiss military is adding four new military battalions to its army that will be spread around the country for purposes of dealing with the fallout from any widespread disorder that could arise from the crumbling eurozone. And then he links to government ministers and others and professors and news articles breaking this down. Minister Maurer, accompanied by whispers from the top uniformed leadership in Switzerland, is trying to raise awareness that Europe's massive financial political crisis could get very unpleasant, writes John Schindler, a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. War College, Naval War College. Swiss military exercises in September called Stabilo Du were based on EU instability getting out of hand. The Swiss have stayed out of the EU on more things than very prosperous Swiss are gloating about these days, and they certainly don't want EU problems spilling over to the country. And then it goes over the 200,000 troops they want to expand. The last time they did this was right before World War II. And the fact that in their papers they're concerned about race war and basically total collapse and Muslim uprisings, amongst other things. Again, and then you have the British Ministry report, 2007. Guys, just type in flash mobs, British report, and that's the London Guardian headline. That'll bring it up. And it says total collapse of society, 2015. Now, again, going back to our guest, finishing up with the nuke stuff, but I want to get your take on this. I'm not saying all this is going to happen. I hope it isn't. But I'm having to get to the point here where more and more the events are now actually arriving. And I was just watching MSNBC before the show, and they were talking about China, or CNBC, totally collapsing from being a boom economy to collapsing. And Ron Paul says time to panic over quantitative easing. I mean, it's just from every angle. I totally concur with what you said, and I'm going to give you the floor on this for the balance of the long segment here, that people instinctively know that there's a perfect storm of different events happening and that society goes through these cycles, but we're going into a mega cycle that I believe is going to dwarf any previous cycle. And all the bedlam we're seeing right now is nothing but birthing pains for the main event. Go ahead and get into the nukes and then EMPs, what it does to reactors, and then the tying it into the Switzerland preparation.
Well, I agree. I think the perfect storm is coming. And like yourself, I hope it's not an all-out collapse. I mean, it's not something I'm hoping or planning for and getting all excited about. But I think intuitively that people all over the world know that right around the corners, some huge events are happening. And on a government level, I know they have remote viewers, and they look and see if there's a consensus amongst the remote viewers. I'm sure they've seen some pretty nasty stuff, and that's one of the reasons that they're doing all of the bunkers and doing all of the bullets and doing all of this. I think that the people in government really don't want it all to fall apart totally, because they want to eat and they want to live and they want to breathe the air too, like we do. So it's a combination of how much is orchestrated and how much is that they just know, just like the average Joe knows, that the, you know, this big machine is not going to keep running that much longer, at least not the way it is. Hopefully on some level it will keep running. Now, is it, I don't honestly know if we've got one or two huge black swan events around the corner that are going to just take things down like that, like an EMP. You know, the good news about an EMP is it's more local. Yeah, it'll probably totally mess up the United States, collapse the government and the stock exchange, but the rest of the world will still be there. The rest of the United States will still be there to come in and kind of rebuild things. The bad news is that in the area of the EMPs, you're going to take out most of the backup systems that keep nuclear power plants functioning. When the grid goes down, you can't just shut down a power plant like flipping a switch. It takes, for instance, 7 months after Fukushima. If they lost cooling water for something like 36 hours, they'd go into full meltdown again. So after a power plant's been shut down for 7 months, it only takes 36 hours with no coolant for them to melt down again. Now they'll melt down in 10 minutes when they first shut down, but they'll melt down in 36 hours 7 months later. So you can't, like, so when you have a big situation where all of a sudden an EMP or solar storm collapses the grid, then these power plants go into backup power. They turn on their battery banks, they turn on their backup generators, and they keep things rolling. Now, in 1960 or 61, when the Soviets did their EMP tests over Kazakhstan, they expected that there'd be a pretty bad result, but they underestimated it. So they put all of these massive military generators in place in Kazakhstan because they anticipated it would take the grid down with the EMP test. Well, not only did it take the grid down, in fact, the EMP was so strong, it induced currents in a 1,000-kilometer, this 600-mile-long trunk power line. It was buried 2 meters at 6 feet under the ground, 600 miles long, 2 meters under the ground. It put so much current in that it burned the power plant down 600 miles away. And not only that, it shut down all of their generators. Now, those generators were pre-microelectronics. Microelectronics is like 1,000 times more sensitive to EMP, unless it's specifically EMP-hardened and protected. It's like 1,000 times more sensitive to EMP than the stuff in those days.
Because it is 1,000 times smaller.
Right. It's 1,000 times smaller, so those traces are so close. So it's like opening up your computer and putting your finger in and rubbing your feet on the carpets and sparking around all the chips and saying, gee, I wonder if that did anything. You know, it's like chances are, yeah, you're not going to fry every chip in the computer, but all you need to do is fry one key chip, and that computer's not working. Now, imagine you've got an EMP. Maybe you've got 30 or 40 in the East Coast nuclear power plants into the zone of the EMP, a large percentage, significant percentage, somewhere between 20% and 100% of those are going to fail in the backup power supplies and are going to start doing Fukushima-like things. Most of our power plants have spent fuel ponds on hand, and if the spent fuel pond, that's like the fuel rods in a nuclear power plant are only good for about a year or so. I'm not exactly sure the exact date, but they start losing power. So they have these big, massive cranes that go into the deep ponds, into the water, and they pull them out in a big bucket because it's so radioactive. You can't, even a radiation suit, you can't get near this stuff. They pull them out encased in a water bucket, and then they move them over, and then they put them into a big swimming pool, like 23 feet deep, in specially designed racks so that they don't get too close and overheat and go critical down inside the bottom of these ponds. And then, so if these ponds lose cooling, if they've been recently refueled, they'll boil dry in 3 or 4 days. If it's been older fuel, it can take as long as a month to boil dry. But to give you an idea, we have something like 95 spent fuel ponds in the United States, an average of 15 Chernobyls worth of radioactive material in each and every one of those fuel ponds. So not only do you have reactors going off, and they have an average of like one Chernobyl inside the reactor, but next door to the reactors, like in Fukushima, they're in fuel ponds on the upper floor of the building. So they're blown up buildings, and they're basically on their last legs, and they've got these ponds just filled with debris, and you can go to washingtonsblog.com, just click in visual tour spent fuel ponds, and it'll shock the hell out of you. That stuff is all over our country. So in the event of an EMP, not only does the infrastructure collapse, not only does it take down government and the stock market immediately, not only does all of our just-in-time deliveries grind to a halt, all of our refineries are screwed up, anything in the all the digital electronics that makes our world
because
run.
Because everything is so strung out and and so complex, and also, as you said, on-time delivery. Let me ask you this question, though. We just put up a map on screen, and I was also showing some government maps of where the supposed nuclear reactors are in the United States, and others a little over 400 worldwide. And I know that map, and I've been looking at all the maps. None of these maps show even half the reactors. It doesn't even show the two nuclear reactors that are in Austin, Texas. It only shows Comanche Peak.
Yeah, but those are small. I believe those are just small research reactors that aren't as big of an issue. But you've got 104, 108 nuclear reactors in the United States. 37% of the population of the United States lives within 50 miles of a nuclear reactor. That means more than one out of every three American is within 50 miles of a nuclear reactor. How many of these will go up in an EMP? I don't know.
Well, let's digress back. I mean, to understand the type of response, if there is an EMP or a solar flare that makes any of these plants have problems, look at Fukushima. Their response was cover up what happened, then just raise the level of radiation safety when more radiation hit us, cover up the tuna being caught, cover up the seals dying in Alaska, cover up all the illnesses. I mean, more and more there's this attitude.
A million people, the epistemological study shows that long-term health effects from Chernobyl, that just one Chernobyl, killed a million people worldwide. Died early deaths, and 3 million people sickened with Chernobyl AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. The Chernobyl necklace is all over the place in parts of the Ukraine and different places downwind from Chernobyl. That's thyroid tumors, you know, people with children born with bizarre birth defects, huge stillbirth rates, you know, huge defect rates. I mean, terrible, terrible things, and that's one Chernobyl. One spent fuel pond has 15 Chernobyls worth in it. When those fuel rods go dry, they're encased in zirconium. When zirconium gets superheated, it burns like a torch. It burns like a Roman candle. It's like magnesium foil. If you ever burned in your chem lab in high school, you have to have dark glasses on. It's super bright. You know, you have to shield your eyes. Each one of those spent fuel rods, if it gets too hot, starts burning in a self-sustaining fire, radioactive fire, into the atmosphere. So you'll have burning fuel rods just like Chernobyl.
Giant dirty bombs everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is like thousands of times worse than every single nuclear device. If we had a nuclear war that where every nuclear bomb blew off, you know, when we talk about Dr. Strangelove and the end of the world, it turns out that we have far more radioactive material in our spent fuel ponds and reactors than in every single nuclear bomb.
Sure, because in air burst, there's almost no radiation, and what's there blows off and gets dissipated in the ocean. We're talking about the doomsday shroud, the doomsday device that the RAND Corporation talked about that was fictionalized as the Bland Corporation in Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Quit Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Love the Bomb, yeah, right.
People don't understand, we're not just saying this here. This is going on.
Now, here's the thing, in my book, When Disaster Strikes, I outline both solar storms and EMP, emergency prepping, survival strategies, what to do, and in the chapter before it, I also talk about the unthinkable, surviving a nuclear catastrophe. Now, obviously, if it's like the worst case scenario, then it's kind of like, you know, you just do yourself in and it's over, but chances that it's worst case, I don't know, you know, but chances that something happens, extremely significant. Like right now, for the price of a single B-2 bomber, they could implement these new technology, giant vacuum tube switches that would protect the massive transformers in our grid from totally frying and collapsing in the event of an EMP.
What, $2 billion nationwide, right? They had a congressional study, right?
$2 billion nationwide, the price of a single B-2 bomber, and they're just talking about it. For 50 years, they talked about rebuilding those levees around New Orleans. The engineer says this is a disaster waiting to happen. It's not a question of if, but when. Same thing with solar storms. It's not a question of if, but when. Right now, we're rolling the dice, and if they come up snake eyes and we haven't protected the grid, then it's like, oh, game over for society. Whether it's game over for civilization, I don't know.
Now, I know we've covered this last time you were on, but it's important to cover it again. But I want to go to break and come back and ask you, why are they hyping Into the World on all these TV shows? I mean, not just because it's popular to cover it. Why are they pushing this meme? But I wanted to mention this as we go to break here. Pompeii. And, of course, so the city of Pompeii was a big Roman settlement. The volcano was rumbling. It had a few, different eruptions over time, but people stayed there, and then they all got killed when it blew up. And it's kind of the same thing throughout civilization. People always just get this I don't know what you call it, a normalcy bias, to the point of they're not worried anymore, like GMO and things like that are already killing us. People just get where they accept it. But I liken this to, you know, the myths of Atlantis and their high technologies, or things we know that happened, like Pompeii.
Noah and the Ark. You know, I mean, it's a classic story. Some say Noah and the Ark was Atlantis, and the big flood was when Atlantis vaporized, whether it was a comet or whether it was some kind of like super nuclear reaction. Who knows? Those are all legends from the past. But it's a recurring theme in history, and it's a recurring theme in mythology. And we're seeing it happen again. And so what do? You either be an ostrich with your head in the sand, or you do your best to be ready and prepared to the best of your ability.
Or do you move away from Mount Vesuvius? I mean, if the West and the Northern Hemisphere is where most of the radiation is going to go crazy, do smart people move to the Southern Hemisphere?
Do you have the money for it?
But, I mean, is that a smart move for people that are retired or don't want to be around for World War III? I mean, would you move to the Southern Hemisphere?
Well, you know, it's not a bad move. At one point in time, I wanted to move to New Zealand because I thought 30 years ago that, you know, we were just headed down the road to nuclear destruction.
No, I hear you. Yeah. We'll be right back. Matt Stein's our guest. We carry all of his books on preparedness at InfoWarsStore.com. Get free citizen rule books with that and support us getting information out. Look, I hope they don't attack Iran. I hope they don't overthrow Syria and put al-Qaeda in, but it looks like they're just going to go ahead and physically invade with regular troops en masse and bomb them, and the news will call it a peace action. I hope that more reactors don't blow up, but I saw a statistic, 90-plus percent, with 91% of reactors are now leaking of the 400-plus. I mean, that's mainstream news. The ruling class has just gotten so decadent, they just don't care anymore. And I agree that they're not running the full collapse, but the mega banks are trying to collapse economies to consolidate them and make governments do what they say. And so it's like they can't help but collapse, that they're like suicide bankers, as Max Kaiser calls them. But all I know is that we're sitting here looking at all this happening, and governments are digging in. What did you make, Matt, of the Homeland Security last month putting out that zombie apocalypse billboards and handouts and TV ads where, zombies are coming to kill you, get ready? Because there is this attitude of get ready, but they say get ready with a week. So when governments start saying get ready, is that just fear-mongering? Or again, I go back to this question. We were talking about the TV show Revolution and Founding Fathers. They have all these shows where, you know, society's collapsed or there's no power grid, or other shows where the evil right-wingers won't turn their guns in, so the government's got to round them all up. And then I see parallels in real army documents for re-education camps. I mean, what's going on? I mean, is this just collective craziness? I mean, what do you think's happening?
I think the media's out to make a buck. And that intuitively, we all know we're in trouble. So we like to watch these shows to get, you know, to like say, okay, you know, is this really happening? Is it not? It's entertaining. I mean, I watched a couple of Revolutions, and it was very entertaining. I mean, I kind of blew my mind that, you know, the little girl is like 3 years old when it all collapses, and then 19 years later, she's dressed in perfect jeans and has her hair done just right in a nice, you know, leather jacket. Like, yeah, the world's collapsed, but she can go to iMagnon and at least Walmart and, you know, Sears and pick up some really cool duds. And all the guys are clean shaven, except occasionally now they're starting to grow a little bit of scruff. But anyway, it's good fun. But I think just it goes beyond that. People know we're in trouble. So for instance, this weekend, I'm teaching an urban survival skills workshop in Reno, Nevada. And we put it on the last minute with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who's the real Mulder. He actually worked in Black Ops. He trained Navy SEALs. He developed a program to turn Navy SEALs into Supermen. And on Sunday in Reno, he's going to be teaching that for the first time to anyone outside of Navy SEALs. And now I've taught for years in both my books this pit of the stomach exercise to help you bypass the rational mind when you know what's hitting the fan and you don't have all the information, CNN's not working and the weather channel is down and you don't know what to do, and your mind's saying, maybe I should do this, and oh, no, maybe I should do that. Well, you got to shut that mind off when it's flipping, flopping every single
day. You got to go with the gut.
You got to go with the gut. Now, Richard Allen Miller has this process where you can train to shift into a different state of mind, it's actually a different state of consciousness, where you can bypass time and space and make snap decisions with 3 sigma accuracy. Now, he says that you test the class at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and everyone improves by at least 100%. But with practice, it's more like 4,000% improvement over just like flipping a coin and just making
sure, because decisions. The subconscious mind is 100 times more powerful than the conscience. It already knows the answers. People think it's magic, but really you're just integrating all that data. And I look forward to getting him on, because you sent me his info. That's very interesting. Back in 60 seconds, we're going to continue more looking at all this and get into the financial collapse angle. Because look at Detroit. They're already, the police are putting up signs saying, enter at your own risk. Oakland's saying they won't respond to 35 major crimes. So the collapse is already happening at many levels.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, coming up in the next segment, it's going to be your chance to talk to engineer, preparedness writer Matt Stein. The toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. I got to get you back on with your compadre soon, your associate, to talk about this pit of the stomach thing, because I know there's a lot of research on that. And in my life, when I go with my gut, it's never wrong. When I don't go with my gut, it's always bad. And I finally learned in my life to ignore the intellectual. I mean, I intellectually look at things and I go off of it, and usually it lines up with my gut. But the gut is always, I mean, Christians would call it their spirit. That's what knows. And the gut always knows, or some would say the nose knows. You know, that's another term for the gut. But that's another issue. I want to get into this. Financial collapse. What we see happening under globalism, the deindustrialization of the cities. Where do you see that going, Matt?
Down the toilet. I mean, we dismantled, you know, the profit being the number one god. You know, here if I'm a CEO of a corporation, what's my number one responsibility? Maximize profits. So it's not my responsibility to my workers. It's not my responsibility to do the right thing for the country. It's my responsibility is to my stockholders to maximize profits. So that means I take the jobs and I ship them to that part of the world where there's the least concern for the environment, the least concern for the worker. They work in slave wages. They have no health control, and they don't care about anything except making the most money for the least amount of money. So that guarantees the collapse of the natural systems. It guarantees the destruction of the middle class. It guarantees, except for the people at the top who are making money off the top, that everybody else is going to suffer, because the trickle, you no longer have guys working for $30 an hour in automotive plants. They're now out working for $6 an hour at McDonald's or Home Depot, $10 an hour at Home Depot if they can get that job. So the money is just not here to keep everything rolling except for trickling down from the top. So I don't see any way it can go anywhere other than collapsing the world as we know it. And people... But the problem is, there's so much momentum. Business as usual got us to this incredible world with this incredible technology. And, you know, very few of us want to go back to like plowing our fields with a horse or a stick in the ground, you know, and doing all that manual labor. But on the same hand, the people who got there through the old way have a huge stake in keeping that going, but keeping that going is going to collapse the world guaranteed. So it's like, where's the solution? The solution is major change. When I ask people, I go to and speak in front of thousands and thousands of people, and I ask them first, I ask how many people think that we have passed the tipping point, that the giant train wreck's going to happen no matter what. And it used to be 1 out of 3 people would raise their hands. Now 2 out of 3 people raise their hands. Then I ask, how many people think everything – actually, first I start out and say, how many people think everything's okay? We can keep doing what we're doing. It's going to be okay. So far, I've had two people raise their hand, and they were giggling like they really didn't believe it, but they wanted to be funny. So out of 10,000 people, two have raised their hand thinking we can keep doing what we're doing. It's not going to...
And you know, computer models, we can call the general public dumbed down. That's only when they're not conscious and kind of in lazy mode. But crowdsourcing, all of it shows the knowledge of the crowd is always better than even the top scientists. I mean, you know, the general understanding, just like mice know when a hurricane's coming before it's even formed, or they know when an earthquake's coming. I mean, just like they've proven birds and fish have magnetic cells in their brains to be able to guide down the ley lines, it turns out everything the ancients talked about is real.
That's correct. It is real, and you can Rick Miller, like I have, teach Pit of the Stomach. He teaches in the Sunday critical decision making, Sunday of our workshop. He's teaching like Pit of the Stomach on steroids. And I'm really excited because this is my chance. I've spent some time with Rick, but I've never been through the workshop. So I'm going to get to learn that stuff because none of us has all the info.
Yeah, I tell you, my biggest part of my brain's in the bottom of my gut. And I just feel sorry for people that I run into that don't even know about the gut. It's like, you don't know about the gut? And then, of course, they're always complete failures is, I think, why. I think that's what separates success from not having success is you got to have a gut. And, of course, with a gut also comes guts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we're going to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Kicked off another hour of resistance as we attempt with some success. We need to expand that success to awaken the engine that is free humanity and expose the insane technocrats that are in control of our society. He'll be gone at the end of this segment. I wanted to take a few calls for our guest and our own Max Cabrera, one of my IT guys who's from Venezuela. He went back to Venezuela to vote. He'll tell you what he thinks about Chavez winning. He obviously voted against Chavez. So that's coming up with us about 5-10 minutes at the bottom of the hour, then more of your calls and news. And I've got to get to all this other news I haven't covered. I've mentioned it earlier. Afterlife exists as top brain surgeon. That's the Daily Telegraph. A sheriff wants drones to peek inside your home. That's up at Infowars.com. Selling your own books, electronics, even furniture will soon be illegal. If Supreme Court says so, that's even ABC News reporting on that. Also, we're going to get into what's happening with the economy and the Eurozone, and the EPA encourages youth energy patrols to enforce their energy standards. Yeah, the GMO's not bad. Radiation's not bad. Just have kids bossing you around right out of Nazi Germany or Maoist China. Following the, and that's the problem with worrying about the environment. It's all been co-opted to power grab. Never do anything about problems that are in the environment. When we hear about sustainability, they have a false sustainability. And, of course, the engineer who's on with us, he's the author of several books, When Technology Fails, and several other great books that we carry at InfoWarsStore.com. He is on the line with us, Matt Stein. We're taking a few phone calls right now. Jim in Chicago, listening on 1530 AM WCKG. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, great show. I'm listening to you on your AM station in Chicago. Great move. My question to your guest is, as we all know, the mainstream media is full of baloney. And I've heard some things, but I would like his take, because he's very well informed, on exactly what the state of Fukushima is right now. I may have missed it earlier if he already spoke about it, but yeah. I'd rather hear an his point.
Sure, a basic breakdown of that. Anything else, or do you want us to hang up and answer it?
No, I wanted to comment on your, I just want to make a comment. It's irrelevant with this conversation about what I've seen with Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. And just thank you personally for not bashing all of Chicago. We all know it's the political system that screwed up, not the...
Chicago's got awesome museums and fantastic aquarium, and my wife wants to go back up there and visit on vacation. It's got so much cool stuff. I mean, Chicago's great people. I got family lives up there. It's the corrupt mafia government ruining it, and the welfare state financing all the gangbangers and disarming the people of Chicago so the criminals can run wild. You guys need to exercise the spirit of Al Capone and the original Daily out of Chicago and take your city back. But look, the spirit that's in Chicago is infesting this whole country. So it's definitely a love-hate relationship. I mean, America is still a great nation, but we've allowed evil to run wild. And we'll get a brief comment from Mr. Stein on that, but I appreciate your call, sir. Break down your take, Matt, on his question about Fukushima.
Well, Fukushima's official estimates are like half of Chernobyl, but unofficial are it's already dumped something like 2 to 2.5 times the amount of radiation as Chernobyl, most of that in the ocean, which is why we're not seeing it out here so much. But it's huge in the ocean. Realistically, people have made comments like Arne Gunderson and Helen Caldicott about moving to the southern hemisphere if the spent fuel ponds go, or more like when they go rather than if they go. They're talking about a 5 to 10 year cycle to develop the machinery and start dismantling all the debris and unloading those ponds. And they're blown up and they're sitting on basically rickety stilts right now, ready for the next big earthquake to come through and knock them over or burn a hole in the bottom of the pond. Now, truthfully, I don't think it's going to be get out of North America when that happens, because I think they'll do like the Chernobyl 200 that basically gave their lives and took extreme doses of radiation to encase Chernobyl in the cement and earthen sarcophagus. They're going to have to do the same thing in Fukushima if and when those spent fuel ponds go. But Fukushima is like a huge warning signal to the rest of the world to say, look, these engineers are smart. They do the best they can, but there's imperfect. There's all kinds of things in the world. There's terrorist acts. There's earthquakes. There's hurricanes. There's tornadoes. The flooding of the Mississippi almost took out a nuclear power plant. They were protecting it with sandbags. It was like inches away from flooding the control room in a nuclear power plant.
Well, now I read all the time about leaks that aren't even a big deal. I heard down in Southern California, remember earlier this year, they had a leak at a reactor.
San Onofre is probably toast. That reactor's probably gone. They rebuilt it with these new cooling tubes, and the cooling tubes are corroding at an incredibly fast rate. They don't know exactly why. They're doing a lot of analysis, but that's like a major nuclear power plant.
I know you know this. They're like, oh, we're just not going to have alarms anymore when radiation's released. That'll scare you. Well, we got the dumb alarms for a reason. And you know what? The fellow was making so many points. I forgot he didn't get to make his point about Rahm Emanuel and what he's doing in Chicago. So try to get back in sometime, brother. I want to hear what you have to say as a Chicagoan. Deborah in Florida, listening via the audio streams at Infowars.com. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I think my husband and I think you are terrific. And I have a question for your guest, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
We live here in South Florida, and basically, I'm medically disabled. I used to be very healthy, and over the last 10 years, I have a neuromuscular disease. I don't know where it came from. My doctors are puzzled. They don't know where it came from.
You've been taking vaccines?
No, none at all, but I'll tell you something.
You've been drinking aspartame?
From whole earth, we always used to buy food from there, always. We stopped just recently as soon as we heard the reports about the GMO.
Oh, Whole Foods,
had no idea. Had no idea. My husband also was very healthy, not feeling well. And he doesn't even take aspirin. Well, I mean, he's the type of person who just doesn't go near anything, you know? And, you know, down here in South Florida, it's just like, it's like another world. I mean, you go into the supermarkets, the shelves are empty. There's, it's just, it's really strange. Everything has just shifted. And we're trying to say, well, you know, there's something going on here. So how do we prepare?
I've got to say, I travel some around the country, and America does, in many areas, look like it's in a depression. People who are wealthier live in their own little enclaves and aren't really aware of it, but I've been seeing that. And look, I don't want to bash Whole Foods all day. It's a great store overall. They've got a lot of great stuff. The point is that they're bringing more and more GMO in, while claiming, you know, that we have nothing artificial, you know, on big billboards. It's the false advertising that is the problem. But I don't want to just single Whole Foods out, but I hear you and I appreciate your call. Mr. Stein, your take on what she's talking about kind of the rotting of the infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it all over the country, and we shipped all the manufacturing jobs off the planet, you know, I mean, to other parts of the world. It's happening all over. James Howard Kunstler wrote about it in The Long Emergency, and we're seeing that. I mean, I'd started talking about it, my first edition of When Technology Fails in 2000, released Thanksgiving 2000. Kunstler followed Long Emergency. We're seeing that, and it's happening. And it's going to take doing rebuilding the world. And most people, when I ask the question, the optimistic doomers is people in my category. When I say, well, how many people think that we stand a chance of shifting from total collapse, but we're probably going to have to get knocked around really badly before either people take back the government or people in the government get so freaked out that they're willing to actually, you know, make real changes, not little tiny changes, not keeping the status quo going. And now about one out of three people, me included, raise our hands, and basically all of us, most of us seem to think it's going to take some pretty serious knockabouts before we make changes that will prevent total collapse. And so what's my chance of us avoiding total collapse? Pretty slim, but I think it's doable. And I think that, you know, especially when people – if we have events that are really serious but aren't game over, then we stand a chance of making the changes. Of course, if we get to a game over situation, you got a game over situation, and then it's like shoulda, woulda, couldas, and it's too late.
Sure. Well, in many areas, you got 30 million people starving to death a year, up from 15 million just a decade or so ago every year. For people in Syria being attacked by NATO and Al-Qaeda, it is the end of the world. So, you know, there's the old saying of it's a depression if you're out of work. It's a recession if your neighbor's out of work. But we all know it's fake economic numbers. We all know the recession didn't end 4 years ago, and the globalists are not changing course. Matt Stein, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll come back and break down drones looking through your windows. They've made the announcement. Stay with us.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with fair.
County Sheriff Greg Ahern says his office would only use the drone during emergencies.
Pursuing a suspect on foot or pursuing a vehicle in an area or search and rescue or disaster.
And for proactive policing, like catching marijuana fields on public lands.
They do have infrared capacity.
And in grow houses, one of the most valuable assets, a live video feed.
You'd be able to see what the drone is seeing as it's flying.
But not everyone's a fan. The ACLU wants drones only deployed when there's a warrant and is worried they might hurt privacy and people. Quote, drone manufacturers are also considering offering police the option of arming these remote-controlled aircraft with weapons like rubber bullets, tasers, and tear gas. But Sheriff Ahern says an armed drone is out of the question.
Okay. Tasers are out of the question, too. Again, they're just rolling these out on everybody. They already have fixed-wing aircraft looking through your walls, the ground-penetrating radar, infrared, you name it. I constantly see people being SWAT-teamed because their power bill was too high. And then it turns out, you know, they have five fish tanks, and the cops are like, two people live here, and this power usage is what four people would use. We're going to raid you. And so even getting warrants now, you know, they'll hand them out for no reason. Looking for drugs that the government ships in on record and the big banks launder the money for. The reason they search you when you're flying back from the third world is they don't want you bringing in drugs to drive down the price. And then they could put you in a jail, private prison, run by big banks that bring in the main money. See, the real drug war is about putting you in prison to work for 25 cents an hour. Then they want to ship the jobs to China. You can have jobs with slave labor. And then that'll also drive down wages. See, it's about driving down wages, a race to the bottom, a deindustrialization program. It's not a free market. It's a rigged market. And here's the report up at Infowars.com. Sheriff wants drones to peek inside buildings, technology previously used to hunt insurgents in Afghanistan. And they called it proactive policing, you know, because you're guilty until proven slave. And look, I understand that there are criminals involved in the drug trade, and they'll be involved in something else that's illegal. So I know there's seedy, horrible people involved in the drug trade in many cases. But they're the low-level minions of it. And when you send nonviolent people to jail, they come out with no future. They can't get a regular job. Now they're going to join the ranks of criminality. And this is how our society has become so criminal. And it's just a fact. And if you want things to get worse and worse, then go with this. But I've seen crime statistics of over 90% of home invasions and armed robberies are drug-related. People want money for drugs. And that's a hidden tax where you get robbed because the drugs cost 10, 20, 30 times what they should if they were decriminalized. Not legalized, decriminalized. A procedure. Why is it that when you have a procedure to get something, even if you've got to get a prescription or jump through hoops and pay taxes to get it, why is it that that always destroys the black market? Because it lowers the price so much that people don't want to be in the black market anymore. You introduce competition to it. Monopolies are the enemy. Monopolies in banking, monopolies in the drug trade, monopolies in any trade. Look, they got rid of 9 years of prohibition that absolutely empowered the mafia in this country with alcohol in the 1920s. And they, the next year, made a score of things, Schedule 3, controlled by the DEA. Because they needed something else to sell. I mean, it's real simple. And they had all these corrupt cops on the take across the country, it's come out. Pick a big city, you name it. The detectives and above, drug dealing. Or keeping their mouth shut and getting a piece of the action. And this is how our society got corrupt. So now they'll put up with anything, basically. Shifting gears with some uplifting news. Afterlife exists as top brain surgeon, London Telegraph, a prominent scientist who had previously dismissed the possibility of afterlife, says he has reconsidered his belief after experiencing an out-of-body experience, which has convinced him that heaven exists. This happens to all cultures. It happens to people that are atheists, you name it. They see the same thing. And I've had family that's died and seen this. I mean, you name it, we have witnessed it. Dr. Edmund Alexander, a Harvard-educated neurosurgeon, fell into a coma for 7 days in 2008 after contracting meningitis. Oh, would he take a government injection? During his illness, Dr. Alexander says that part of his brain, which controls human thought and emotion, shut down, and that he experienced something so profound that it gave me a scientific reason. And it goes through the fact that he's a brain scientist. He knows this. That his brain was basically shut down and didn't have brain waves, but he was still experiencing all this. Something so profound that it gave me a scientific reason to believe in consciousness after death. In an essay for the American magazine Newsweek, which he wrote to promote the book, The Proof of Heaven, I want to get him on. And folks, I've talked to atheists, you name it, who died and you know, been dead for 10 minutes. And they angels, the whole nine yards. I mean, it's real, folks. We see a very tiny spectrum of reality.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Okay, I know that we've got callers on hold. A lot of you probably called in for the guest, but he's gone now, so you can either stay on hold and I'll go to you in about 10 minutes, or you can hang up, but we'd love to hear from you. 800 259-9231. I am Alex Jones, your host. We're going to be talking to Max Cabrera here in just a moment. Okay, if you enjoyed InfoWars magazine, newsprint style, say bye-bye. I'm sorry, I like newsprint myself, but almost everybody in the office voted that they like the slick magazine glossy, and we can get it for a little bit more than the newsprint. So we're going for it. And so you can buy what's left of the newsprint version of the October issue at cost to give people, it gets into the technocracy, the control grid, the elite's own statements about reducing world population and planetary control. DARPA, the real Skynet, October surprise war, the end of humanity, rise of the robots. This is an emergency transmission with the cover that I designed with the graphics people. And it's got the inside great poster. You are the hope, you know, the resistance, powered by InfoWars.com. It's got amazing information. This is tailored, 48 pages, to give friends and family who are not fully awake. They'll pay attention when they get something like this. It's like a book. Looks like Rolling Stone, you know, old Rolling Stone. In fact, it's the same dimension. That's what I wanted to go with. We tried a couple different places with glossy, found one we really like out of, what, Ohio. Great folks. Show made in America, written in America, printed in America. Here it is. Get the first issue when you subscribe on the economic design collapse, the September issue, and then get the next 12, including this one. Shipping is included, $59.95. I could say, hey, support us by doing this, but it's right at cost, so it doesn't really support us. But it does support us by living in a free country and waking people up. That's why we're doing this at cost. Or subscribe and get the 13 issues, or buy them in bulk, 10 up to 100 at cost. Now, we've lowered what's left of the newsprint version, and after this, there won't be any more newsprint, to below cost to get the last 10,000 or so out the door. We've 50,000 on the streets of Austin, 40,000 sold, about 10,000 left. It'll be gone in just 4 or 5 days at this rate. Then we have 10,000 of the glossy. Then going forward, everything will be glossy. And that is at cost as well at InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is all there right now. You can get a 10-pack of glossies for $19.95 or a 10-pack of the regular newsprint for $14.95 and wake people up. It's got powerful graphics and even more powerful info, InfoWarsStore.com. Also, don't forget that it's key to not drink the regular tap water with all the drugs and chemicals and Prozac runoff in it. And what I use at my home and what I use on the road is the ProPure water filtration system, and we already have the lowest price at InfoWarsStore.com, but when you put in promo code WATER, you get the lowest price on top of it anywhere, 10% off on all of their different units at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have the LifeStraw discounted emergency water filtration system and more, and your purchase funds us, because we're not like the government that puts a gun to your head and takes your money and then gives it to somebody else to propagandize. We are supported by you. And so we promote things that I believe in. It's a win-win situation, InfoWarsStore.com. By the way, we've had a lot of people, I keep seeing comments all over PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com saying, we want this for free. Where is it? And again, you go to InfoWars.com/newsletter, where we send out weekly news alerts and updates and special videos. And we've sent it out 4 or 5 times this issue. But Max Cabrera is the guy that's in charge of that. Will you send it out at the end of the show again today for anybody that missed it? InfoWars.com/newsletter. Send them the digital copy where you can click the links and flip the pages, because we're just getting bombarded, because if people don't tune in at one time and hear it, they just don't know about it, Max.
We can send that out again. No problem.
Well, that's fantastic. And then I guess send it out again tomorrow, because some stations rebroadcast at night. We'll get even more calls. But you can get the magazine free, too. InfoWars.com/newsletter. And then coming up, ban under threes from watching television, study says, London Telegraph. That's also in the London Guardian. Doctors should curb amount of time children spend watching television to prevent long-term harm, say pediatricians. It's been proven, not just in this study, but literally hundreds of others. Neurological disorders, reduction in brain growth, physically lowered IQs. Our next issue, a big part of it is the zombification via television. And I'm not defending the internet television, but it's been found not to do the same thing, because you are controlling it. You're interacting, you're clicking, you're doing things. But if you do watch television on internet and go into suspended disbelief for more than about 5 minutes, then the brain damage does start. Talk radio, print makes you image things. We're going to have big articles on this, breaking down the studies in the next issue. And that's what caused the zombification. But a new big study about, they call it zombification. I was going to call this in the next issue, and now they're calling it that. Because that's what it is. The public has smaller brain sizes from television. Television is killing us. The low attention span, changing the subject every 30-second garbage. And where people just sit there accepting whatever they see. It's making a nation a world of spectators. Now, somebody who's not a spectator is Max Cabrera. Max, I don't know how much of your story you can tell on air, but you didn't want to tell this last time because you said, well, I don't have proof. I just heard about it and saw it in Venezuela. And then we were reading Charlotte Iserby's book again, and it was pointing out where in Europe they did this, where they told the kids, pray to God and ask for the milk in the morning, the school lunch. There's no milk. Now pray to the government, and then the government can give it. And that was, I'd forgotten that was in her book with documents. So the point is, what you witnessed and saw in Venezuela and didn't want to talk about on air, you're like, well, I don't have video, so I'm not going to show it. We do have some video you shot. We'll show more on the nightly news tonight of you down there voting. And I came to you this morning when you got back. I said, hey, you know, did you, you know, think there was election fraud? And you said, no, they've made people dependent. They've won, just like the government's trying to do to get more than half on the dole. It's imploded your country. But just tell us what it's done to Venezuela, what 14 years of Chavez has been like. I know you don't want to get into personal stories because you don't want your family to be persecuted, but I mean, they just take businesses and then put the commies in. So describe what it's like living under this and what you think of the election. Max Cabrera, who traveled back to Venezuela, one of our best IT guys, one of our head IT guys. We got two IT departments. He's the head of one of them here at InfoWars. What it was like to see Hugo Chavez reelected and just what it's like to live under him.
Well, actually, Alex, I took some people with me down to Venezuela so they could see the country for the first time. And they did say, your country is beautiful, but it looks like nobody's taking care of it. It looks like nobody's really watching for the well-being of the private sector. And basically, that's what's going on right now. After 14 years, we can see that the private sector has been leaving the country and people get dependent on the government. And then proof of that is the elections. I mean, the result of the elections, you can see that Chavez won with 55.25% of the voters. I was there during the whole process. I was recording people voting and I was in the audit of the votes. And I can say it was really a transparent process. And
because they do it the old-fashioned way of counting it right there and then posting it, and then everybody can put the numbers together.
They have the electronic version and they have the physical version. So when you vote over there, you get a...
And you're a programmer, so you know about this stuff.
Exactly. So I get a piece of paper saying who I voted for. I put that piece of paper in a box. At the end of the day, they open the election centers for everybody to go there and witness the counting of the votes. I was there. I did some footage of it that we can show tonight. And it was matching everything that was in
the... Oh, here's some of it right now on screen. So it looks like you snuck in with the camera.
Yeah, that's inside the election center. And you can see people that are on the tables, checking for IDs, making sure the people that are voting are actually legal voters. And the process looks very, very well. What I can say from this is that people are becoming dependent on the government.
Hold your finger up because you dip it in ink.
It's very symbolic over there. After you vote, you have to dip your finger in ink so people will know that you already voted. And it's hard to take it off.
And we'll show folks your finger there on camera.
It was on Sunday that I did it and still with ink. It's hard to get it off.
Okay, but I interrupted you. I want to talk about turnout and some other issues. Getting back to this dependence, you know, being born there, growing up, being middle class, what is the transformation you've seen? We've seen it everywhere. We saw it in Poland. We saw it in Russia, Ukraine, China. We've seen it everywhere the communists take over.
Well, I have seen that companies from the private sector were growing the city I used to live in, and now those companies are gone, and everything is now under the government command, big companies. And now those companies can make money. So therefore, people really depend on Chavez now. Chavez is the leader. He wants to take care of the poor.
So he's like the mama pig with all the little tits.
He's like the mama pig with all the, yes, exactly. And that's what got him to win again. People I see the opposition. I saw the opposition going to these little towns, asking them, telling them the opportunities that would be another type of government. And they will tell them, Chavez give us money and clothes. If you give me money and clothes, we will vote for you.
By the way, guys, we're going to have a bunch of people in Austin saying Obama paid them to vote for him and stuff. That's on the nightly news I'm hosting tonight. David Knight's doing the interview on some big breaking news. The federal court has ruled the EPA is allowed to poison you. So reversing the Nuremberg ruling, this is a big deal, some big breaking news tonight. But can you guys go get Jakari Jackson, that one clip I played on the news as a teaser for tonight, where the guy's saying Obama gave him $200 to vote for him? And again, government does this, these little handouts. But these people, you know, really think, I got an Obama phone. And Obama's going to do more. Can we queue up the Elmo version?
He's giving away funds, too. He's giving away funds as well.
Okay, so tell us about that. So there's a Chavez phone as well.
Yeah, there is a Chavez phone. There is a Chavez car. And he's giving away houses as well. But they give the houses, but without the title of the house. So the house still belongs to the government.
By the way, that's the plan, they say, to bankrupt all the mortgages, even those that are paid up, is to then bankrupt them and nationalize them, and now the government runs your house, just like the Great Depression was used to get Social Security going. This is a domestication process.
Yes, it is. It is, Alex, and it's obvious. I mean, people are depending on Chavez, and obviously when they see that there is another option, they are afraid of losing what they have. It's not too much. I mean, they are living off petty cash. I mean, they give you a little amount of money, and they feel happy with that. They don't know any better. Venezuela is a poor country. 80% of the population there live in poverty. Some of them, they don't have access to the internet, to regular news. And what they see is that somebody is giving them money. So that's good enough for them. I support that you have to help people. People that deserve help, they should get help. But you have to stay open to the private sector.
Sure, they want to make you dependent, though. That's why they do everything they can to shut down all competition, shut down the family. The socialists have a model. And at the end of the day, they're not just well-meaning idiots. They want to get you dependent to then carry out the eugenics. So it's totally cold-blooded. Do we have the Elmo Obama phone version? And folks, you think Obama phone's good. Here's the Elmo version. Here it is.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
He's gonna do more.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks.
If you're a radio listener and not watching the streams, we had that a week ago. I never got around to it because I've been so focused on serious stuff. But they took that woman and then added Elmo onto it via a TV host interviewing Elmo in another interview. They dubbed it over. And it's completely hilarious. In fact, will you ask Don to post Obama phone lady meets Elmo on Infowars.com so the radio listeners can see that. You know, we make jokes about this, but what is it like for you, you know, being successful here, the American dream, by working hard? You know, sometimes you're up here at 10 o'clock at night, evil activity, you know, actually helping build Infowars, helping fight collectivism and the corporate Borg. What is it like to then see Obama doing the same things you've talked about that, hey, I've seen this before with Chavez?
Yeah, I mean, we laugh right now because we feel really comfortable still. But if people can see the road that Venezuela is taking, how people become dependable on the government just for this kind of stuff, people get distracted. They don't see the big picture. And at the end, it could be too late to go back to something else that we really want.
Because once they get 50, 60% dumbed down wanting their Obama phone, they don't it's like, hey, the industry left. We're standing in line to get sausages and nylons like in Russia. This doesn't work. They're like, hey, I got $200 to vote for Obama. I got an Obama phone, and he's going to do more.
Yeah, that's right. And they keep promising. They keep giving people stuff. And of course, they're going to be happy. They depend on the government. They don't want to work. And that's the problem. Some mates over there, they get salaries from the government. Therefore, they don't have to go find a job. So they just stay at home and they get paychecks.
But you've described, though, how after 14 years he's been
14 years, 14 years.
I mean, we're not just saying this about Chavez. Describe how bad it's gotten, though. I mean, you've been telling me it's just worse and worse and worse.
Well, my brother-in-law, he cried when he saw the results of the elections just because he has been in two companies that has been taken over by the government. I have seen I have seen things that are lacking.
I met your brother-in-law. He was up here with, he's a nice guy.
Yes, he was a nice guy. He's a professional. He's an engineer. He's very qualified for any job in engineering.
We've got a family friend who grew up, their dad, in Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic under the communists. He was an artist. They said, we just don't like your art, because he'd won some art display against one of the communist kids. So they just banned him from his profession for life. Playwrights, you name it. I mean, it's hellish to be under these people.
My brother-in-law, he can't get another job in the big companies because he's against Chavez. Now he has to work in a mall. It's not a funny thing, Alex. I mean, it's a hard situation for the Venezuelans.
So you either kiss his hind end and kiss communism's butt, or you don't get one of the government-controlled jobs.
That's right. And people are now concerned because over 6 million people voted against Chavez. Now those people are concerned. Are they going to take some measures against us now? And that's what's might happen now. Venezuela showed a very good behavior, and we are expecting Chavez to respect those 6 million people that voted against him. I mean, this is also...
What's the hope, though, that he'll just die of cancer?
He will die of cancer, or people will react. I think it's been 14 years. I thought people were already looking at reality, but they're not. And we're hoping for them to wake up and see what's better for them.
What about the military? Do they still worship him?
Some of them, yes, but actually Capriles said that he has the Minister of Defense already. He had the Minister of Defense, and he's an active general in Venezuela. So that means, yeah, the militia is with Chavez, but not all of it. There's parts that are with the opposition as well.
I mean, how much worse has it overall gotten in Venezuela in 14 years?
It's very unsafe. That's the main concern about that. It's very
unsafe. Hold on. Tell us about that, because you were telling me crime has just exploded.
Yeah, crime.
Stay there. We're going to come right back, and I've got the clip of the guy in Austin saying Obama paid him 4 years ago to vote for him. And then some of your phone calls. We'll do some overdrive. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
He left his living in cheap hotels. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold. And so the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true. But save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. And now he's grown old.
And now he's grown old.
Well, I tell you, the collectivist cannot take the spirit of art and literature and individual beauty. They cannot take the power of Willie Nelson or Merle Haggard. They cannot take the courage of Poncho and Lefty. And that's why they keep losing. But now, because of manufacturing, this is what Karl Marx said. He said it would get to a point where the state could just flood you with baubles and people would sell out to the collective for that. And you were really, you're upset. I've never seen you like this in the few years you've worked here, Max, saying this is devastating. And you said you wish that you could say it was a fraud and not say that your country people had been turned into jellyfish. I mean, describe it in your own words.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, after looking at the election results, it was sad that people has been dumbed down to depend on this government. And I feel the problem is that they only see their individual problems, like, okay, I got a phone, I got some money, but they don't see beyond that what is going on in the whole country. And I tell the American people, they really have to, instead of only being worried about what they get, like a phone, they should see what the candidates are talking about, what they want to do worldwide and nationwide, because this is going to affect everybody.
By the way, you said you thought his cancer was a ruse privately, and now he does look perfectly healthy. You think it was staged?
I think it was staged. I think he got sick. It wasn't as bad as they were saying, because now he looks better than ever, more powerful.
Well, they do have near cures for cancer they keep from the public. There's a big mainstream article out on a big study with magnets today, and then they find the cures and they give it to themselves.
It just happens to be close to the elections, though.
Yeah, no, I think. Well, listen, we're going to have to get you on the nightly news about this to really flesh this out and really break this down, because you've got a lot of other points to make. Here, because I promised it, is that quick clip There's a bunch of these clips coming up tonight. Jakari Jackson got this downtown Austin, where the guy said, I got $200 from Obama. And people did. The whole population got $200 after Obama got elected. Now, George W. sent out $300, and it was a letter from him. Oh, I got $300. So let me tell you, this collectivism is getting worse and worse.
I got people over there telling me the same thing. They got 600 bolivares to vote for Chavez. They got 1,000 bolivares to vote for Chavez, but they didn't want to say in front of the camera because they want to keep receiving that money.
We're going to cover it tonight. Here's the clip.
Now, you say he's helped you out. Can you name one way that he's helped you out?
He gave me $200 when he be turned to president.
You got $200 from Obama?
He gave everybody that had a disability $200 when he turned president. I remember that because I got...
All right, that's enough. But the rest will be on tonight. There's a bunch of this. We got two reports. But again, you can keep your $200. I want my freedom. I mean, people that, quote, don't even pay income taxes, in everything you buy, it's stacked on. And the fines and regulations and fees. How many poor people know that in most states, because they contribute to this big federal kitty, they have a state tax on your energy bill that is then paid into the federal government? Or that they have that to help pay for programs for free cell phones. None of it's free, and it's just like if you go out and start feeding wild animals, pretty soon they don't know how to catch fish on their own, like grizzly bears. And now they're coming in your cabin and eating you because they don't know how to go, you know, climb a tree and get honey. Max, you know what? We'll have you on the nightly news tonight, okay? We'll have a big doubleheader because I got another guest on, and it'll end up being 10 hours long. But 7 o'clock tonight, PrisonPlanet.tv. You can choose to support us by getting memberships, or you can kneel to Chavez and Obama, who will take your money at gunpoint.